You know what? In this day and age, after all the things that have happened over the last 24 hours, we've got all kinds of issues going on. Joining us now, he's got a new book out, David L. Bahnsen, Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame, and How You Can Cure It. David, thanks so much for taking time with us today. What do you mean, our addiction to blame?
Well, it has occurred to me increasingly in recent years that the sort of blame game around big cultural issues, political issues, is no longer a specifically partisan thing. I think for years there's been kind of different groups that have been more likely, had a higher propensity towards blaming a particular institution or force for the that which upset them or ailed them, what have you. It seems to me it's become completely systemic, and so I went about researching it and applying it across a lot of different areas and aspects of society, and that's what the subject of the book is.
So talk about blame. Like, who blames who for what? You talk about Wall Street, Main Street. There's a lot of people that blame. Like, give an example of what you would say is a blame game that goes on out there.
So I think that if you divide it up by sort of more tribal, partisan, political lines, there has been a pretty long-standing propensity for many on the left to fall into a kind of class envy situation and generally blame big business and, as you said, Wall Street, big banks, things of that nature for that which upsets them. I believe that the right, and a lot of it was my study of the financial crisis that kind of helped me to see I'm a lifetime conservative Republican and always will be, and yet I have seen more and more, even on my own side of the aisle, falling prey towards blame of a particular cultural epidemic on, let's say, big government or the media, all of which are nuggets of legitimacy and truth to it, of course, but by no means do I think represent a sort of excuse for our ability to flourish in society. So the way I've sort of divided it in more recent times is that you kind of have a populist camp right now that blames elites and globalists. You have the right that will often blame government, media, and then the left blaming business and capitalists and things like that. All of which I think there's certain kind of understandable nuggets of legitimacy, and none of which do I think tell the whole cultural story.
Talking to David L. Bahnsen, Crisis Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It is his new book. And you know what? We talk about that, but when you look at politics as a perfect place, is, and you know this as well as anybody, is you've got to create the monster, because you can't be a hero if there is no monster. So blaming the other side and the evils of capitalism or conservatism or liberalism, and then you come in on that white horse and you save the day, that's, you know, people need to understand that that's what both sides are doing, and they don't seem to get it, do they? That they don't realize that they're part of the game in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's right, and I think that it's not at all uncommon that people will believe the other person is guilty of blame casting and not see where they may be doing it themselves. And I think that what does complicate things, and where I try to have a lot of empathy for where some people may be coming from, is that there's no part of me that disputes the fact, you know, when a conservative says that the government's too big. Well, I agree. It is too big. The challenge is that what do you do with that? What's the cause of it? See, my belief is that we have too big of a government because we have too much inadequate self-government. That greater responsibility from the citizenry enables us to actually legitimately shrink the size of the welfare state. Right now, there's no appetite for reducing size of government, because the people have become so dependent on that nanny state that they want to be the size that it is. And so what is needed is greater self-government to help alleviate that challenge.
You know, I mean, I think you're right. We have less responsibility in this day and age. You know, we it's almost like we want to give responsibility away to somebody else. Here, you be responsible for this so I don't have to, and that includes government. And Is it starting younger and younger? That's I look at this and, you know, and already now after yesterday's horrific, you know, shooting in Florida, people are already starting to look to blame certain things. The blame game is going on. And I feel like it's starting younger and younger. And I think we're not asking the right questions. We're asking the same questions over and over. We're not getting a different answer.
That's right. And really, one of the things the book does is seek to go into those different subjects to start asking right questions, to be more provocative and more intentional about how we evaluate the role of the family in society, the structure of our communities, our relationship with higher education, this sort of bargain that has been made where we will borrow an infinite amount of money, you will charge us an infinite amount of money, you will deliver nothing, and we will be okay with it. That's sort of the arrangement that has been made with the chancellors of the university system and the federal government's willingness to supply infinite amounts of debt capital to the student loan market. So I'm looking at all these different issues and saying, how can we start with a position of individual responsibility and then from that framework seek policy improvements? And the way we think about, as I said, college, but also trade, immigration, the job market, the challenges coming in our economy around automation and a growing technology, and even other things like school choice. So it covers a lot of issues. They're generally considered pretty controversial, but boy, are they easier to wrap our arms around when we start off with a vantage point of individual responsibility led by increased character.
Oh, that's right there. I mean, you hit it on the head. Individual responsibility, increased character. Talking to David L. Bonson here. Crisis of responsibility, or cultural addiction to blame, and how you can cure it. You know, how much has social media really played into the new world of tribalism that we have? Because I feel that is so, it has given such a platform to everybody to break out into tribes more so than ever before.
Yeah, there's really no denial, and I'm one who's always hesitant to want to go quickly to blame certain technological things, because I think that that's been, again, a kind of easy scapegoat throughout history, just as people previously maybe blamed television and before, you know, automobile, and all these different conventions have been sort of the source of a lot of social angst. But as far as what you're referring to, I agree with you. I think that social media has provided a platform for quick, immediate, accelerated democratization of whining. And it's very unhealthy. Now, do I support that we go put regulation on Twitter so that people don't complain or something? Of course not. But culturally, we have to be aware of the fact that right now, that mentality spreads quicker. It spreads by the nanosecond instead of by the year or decade. That mentality, I think, has become one very easy to fall prey to. And yet, here's the thing I would really want to point out before our time ends up. Those that are considered to be kind of on the inside of the global economy, those that are succeeding in the present age with the technological challenges, with all of the different kind of adjustments that we've suffered through or faced or what have you, by and large, they're people that are not participating in those unhealthy aspects. They're not falling prey to a sort of social media culture that is lacking in depth and substance and character and gratitude. They aren't people that are abandoning their families. They're refusing to find viable work when they're able-bodied and grown adults. That's the whole issue that is stunning to me, is that the real cause and effect we have is that simple behavioral characteristics can almost always be traced to where people have been most productive and are able to most flourish in our society. There is no reason for us to not be telling that story.
Talking to David L. Bonson, Crisis Responsibility, or Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It. We've talked about a lot of that stuff. Let's talk about the cure going forward. And where do you see the cure lies with inside of society today?
So I divided up in the book to the last two chapters. The chapter 11 is dedicated to the individual remedies, and I suggest 10 things as a starting point that individuals can do to begin fixing the blame game. And then the final chapter of the book, chapter 12, is dedicated to the cultural remedy. And so essentially the applications are not meant to be exhaustive. It isn't that someone reads the book, puts it down, and everything is all solved for. But I do suggest on an individual basis, I start my kind of first point of these top 10 with a absolute commitment to repudiating defeatism and victimhood. The mentality, and the key here, is that's even when one really has been victimized, even when they really have been unfairly treated by a boss or a spouse or whatever the case may be, refusing to surrender in to a mentality of being defeated and being victimized. I think that victimization mentality is so easy. It's such a cop-out, and it needs to be repudiated because of the self-fulfilling prophecy that it represents. Anybody who carries through life with a defeatist attitude will be defeated. Anyone who acts in a kind of mentality of victimhood will themselves become victim. It's not necessary. I go into more practical economic things. I talk about, some, you know, of course, my day job, I run a very large wealth management firm, and we give people financial advice for a living. And I talk about things they can do to insulate themselves from things like housing crises and what are the sort of very basic responsible things one could do in terms of playing defense with their financial position. I've already alluded to earlier in our conversation, totally rethinking our relationship to higher education, understanding college for what it is and what it isn't, and doing a better job at defining the ROI, the return on investment one intends to get out of a higher education. So I'm just giving you kind of a quick tease on some of those different things. Culturally, I believe at the end of the day, I have a lot of optimism that we can do this. I don't believe it took, in my opinion, about 40 years for America to go from a country that largely had a responsible DNA through it to a country that right now, I think, has in a lot of ways lost its way. And yep. And I'm an incrementalist. I think we can incrementally get out of this, but it's going to take a real commitment.
Absolutely. David L. Bonson, appreciate you coming on today. The book's called Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It. Very interesting. And I'm telling you, I'm right there with you. I love, you know, that word responsibility, David. As you know, as so many of us, we want to shirk our responsibilities and we want to blame everything else for our problems. And you're right. It's about being a victim, a victor or victim. You get to choose in life. We appreciate you coming on today, man.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
You know what? He's right. Look, we have issues here. And he hits both sides, by the way, in this book. He hits both sides, the right, the left. He hits Main Street and Wall Street. He hits everybody. And I think when you can have somebody who can readily admit, he's a conservative, always will be. He can readily admit that. But at the same time, he will tell you that both sides have problems. And I find.